Welcome to ID the Future. On this episode, Thomas Woodward, host of the radio program The Universe Next Door, speaks with Center for Science and Culture Senior Fellow John West about his book Darwin Day in America and the just-released new and expanded edition of the book.
Welcome back to The Universe Next Door, where today our focus is on an amazing book that is coming out in a new fresh edition with an added chapter. And it's called Darwin Day in America. And I might ask the author who is with us today, Dr. John West, to give a little bit of background on the kind of the interesting idea, because there actually is a Darwin Day celebrating his birthday every year, even among theologians. That may strike you as a bit odd, strikes me as somewhat strange that Christian churches would sometimes say, let's have a Darwin party. I think there would be other people we could celebrate before we get around to Darwin in the Christian tradition, but we will talk about some of the unique aspects of this added chapter in just a moment. I just want to mention that as we get into the totalitarian science topic, which Dr. John West will be covering with us, one of the great authors of our era who warned of the rise of totalitarian science, and that is C.S. Lewis himself. He represents the danger of that upcoming, you might say, ideological beast and a whole kind of system of control in both his fictional book, That Hideous Strength, and of course, the more philosophical treatment of that came out and then roughly in the year 1944 in the book, The Abolition of Man. Both books, are, of course, are very important and tied to what C.S. Lewis saw as this tremendous danger coming down the road, kind of roaring down the highway in the direction of modern culture. If we're not watching ourselves and our ideas carefully, that is what is almost bound to happen as scientists, you might say, stretch their wings and venture into almost like pronouncing what is real and what is not real about ultimate reality. Well, Dr. John West, I really appreciate the labors that you have put in to research and then write this magnificent book. The new edition is out right around this time. Is that correct?
Yep. People can get it.
Very good. And tell us, what is the best way for them to log on through their internet portal and see the book and order their copy?
Yeah, I think they should go to darwindayinamerica.com.
Okay.
darwindayinamerica.com, and they can read an excerpt from it there. They can see an overview of the book and watch a couple of video trailers on it.
Fantastic. Well, today, again, we're talking about not only the book, but its new chapter added by our author of that chapter, who's with us today, Dr. John West of the Center for Science and Culture at the Discovery Institute. And Dr. West, if you would tell us about the danger that you see rising from totalitarian science, but as we get into that kind of almost educational idea, or you might even call it philosophical, what happened of interest when the Obama administration was contacted by these, you might say, documentary production people, the video producers of the Cosmos television series? What did they invite President Obama to do, and what did he leap in and do perhaps a bit hastily?
Well, of course, there was a reboot of the Cosmos series with Neil deGrasse Tyson that was, you know, every cliche in the book that you would think, you know, religion is anti-science. Anyone who raises objections on any part of global warming is a Nazi. We're all the product of unguided, purposeless processes. And so, you know, everything you could expect was in it. And they didn't actually invite Obama to give the introduction. The White House contacted the producers of Cosmos, according to the producers of Cosmos, to offer the president to give the official introduction. And so President Obama basically used the power of his office and taped a video introduction to basically what was a multi-hour marathon of claptrap, scientific materialism and intolerance that our president, unfortunately, put the power of his office behind, which I think is very unfortunate.
Absolutely. I'm looking at the excerpt from your chapter, if I can read it. It says, Sagan has been criticized for trying to use science, the former host, of course, Carl Sagan, to promote metaphysical materialism. In that sense, Tyson's new series was a worthy heir to Sagan's original production. And of course, Tyson had previously dismissed God as an ever receding pocket of scientific ignorance. Well, that's really gracious toward God believers. And the producers of the New Cosmos were known for believing that religion sucks and for warning students, stay away from the church. In the battle over science versus religion, science offers credible evidence for all the serious claims it makes. The church says, oh, it's right here in the book. See, the one written by people who thought that the sun was magic. My goodness. I mean, this is really remarkable. I mean, the series poses as serious science, but it's something other, correct? I mean, from your perspective.
Very much so. Even just the quote that you gave about the people who believe in the Bible thought that the sun was magic. Well, actually, from the, you know, the history of Western monotheism, Jews and Christians, that's precisely what they didn't think the sun was.
And so, that was the thrust of Genesis, was to attack the idea that the sun is magic.
Correct. Or that the planets were gods. This is really, they're showing their own ignorance. And it's, again, unfortunate that the White House, someone in the White House thought that this was a great idea for them to promote, and that the, that the president then taped this glowing introduction to what is basically propaganda and claptrap.
And speaking of propaganda and claptrap, the next heading, I would say, then section of your chapter I would like to dive into, if you're willing, is the rise of totalitarian science. And so, Dr. John West, tell us, what do you mean by the phrase totalitarian science, and why is it a threat?
Yeah, this is the idea that science, which again is a very good thing, I'm not anti-science at all, but making it applied outside its proper bounds. And so a view of science as being so totalistic in its outlook that its defenders claim the right to remake every sphere of human life, or that science is a trump card in everything. And so you see this both in the Obama administration and then outside of it. In the Obama administration, it's interesting how often they cite science with a capital S to trump other people's ethical views. So, for example, Francis Collins was a great supporter of embryonic stem cell research. And even though many people, whether it be Catholic, Protestant, or others, have ethical qualms about it because of their belief that human life begins at conception. And so there's real questions. Should taxpayer funding be used to do this, given some of the ethical qualms? Well, but what trumps it? Well, no, science must march forward. Therefore, we mean to do it, regardless of people's ethical objections. The whole debate over whether religious employers should be forced to use in their healthcare plans, underwrite what contraceptives there are abortion causing. The Department of Health and Human Services, the head at the time, Kathleen Sebelius, when she announced it, what was her reasoning for why you should force even religious employers who weren't churches to do this? Well, good science shows us that this is good. And so, again, using science as this trump card again against any ethical beliefs, that science says so, therefore your objections, your moral objections, your ethical objections mean nothing. And where you really see this was in what we discussed in an earlier segment, which really was this premature infant study, where they really harmed premature infants and didn't tell the parents what all was going on, to the point of changing the actual oxygen equipment so it gave false readings, so the doctors and nurses couldn't give individualized care to those babies.
Wow. Again, today, discussing his new chapter of an incredible book is Dr. John West of the Discovery Institute. And Dr. West, I have noticed as I've been working my way through this incredible chapter, this added one to the renewed edition. Again, the website is at DarwinDayInAmerica.com. .com. Okay. The most common ending on a website address, DarwinDayInAmerica.com. You can see excerpts there, read a portion of the book, and order your copy, of course. But I noticed that you have included here in this chapter such incredibly important sections or topics as evangelizing atheists and the use of science almost as a bludgeon against any religious, let's say, affiliation or serious advocacy, burning the heretics. These are topics and subjects that are too important just to kind of push to one side. Would you consider coming back and addressing these in next week's program?
Very much so. I'd be delighted.
That'd be tremendous. Again, Darwin Day in America, now available in its new revised, slightly enlarged, with this fantastic high-octane chapter. Dr. John West, the author, of course, fantastic scholar, but very, very readable. It's the most exciting book on Darwinism I've read, I think, in my entire life. Number one in readability as well as power. Dr. John West has agreed to rejoin us next week, so be sure to come back and be a part of that conversation with us. We'll see you back here next week on The Universe Next Door.
You've been listening to part two of Thomas Woodward's interview with John West, author of Darwin Day in America. A brand new second edition of Darwin Day in America has just been released and includes a brand new chapter titled Scientism in the Age of Obama and Beyond. For more information about the book and to order your copy, visit DarwinDayInAmerica.com. That's DarwinDayInAmerica.com. Stay tuned to ID the Future for more with Senior Fellow and author John West on future episodes.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.